You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Trident Talk.
Swing, sock, way deep out to left field, catch a ball.
From foul pole to foul pole.
Reaches up, dives, and he makes the catch. Holy smokes.
A deeper look at your Seattle Mariners on the Seattle Mariners Radio Network.
Ah, yes, it is time for Trident Talk once again. The first edition of this 2024 season. Gary Hill with you alongside Aaron Goldsmith. Max Strobel back in our Seattle studios. This is going to be a fun show we have on hand today. We're going to hear from Ty France coming up in a few minutes. Shannon Dreher, a great conversation with the Mariners' first baseman. We'll get a chance to meet new Mariners reliever Cody Bolton. He has a very interesting journey to the major leagues, so we'll learn all about one of the newest Mariners. Made his Mariners debut the other night against the Boston Red Sox. Of course, we are in front of Game 4. Of the Red Sox as the Mariners look for a series win against Boston. We have the pregame show coming up an hour from right now with Shannon Dreher and first pitch with Bryce Miller on the hill coming up after that. We also have Tell Me a Story coming up in this show. This is just one of my absolute favorites when we do this show. Tell Me a Story with Joe Castiglione. Of course, we'll pay homage to the great Boston Red Sox play-by-play announcer. He's going to tell us a good one. That comes up in a few minutes. We're going to start the show, though, with Jerry DePoto. Aaron and I had a chance to sit down with Jerry, and we asked him all about his impressions of spring training coming into this season, who really stood out, and also, it's very interesting, we dive into the bullpen, and kind of a common trait that a lot of the success stories have had out of the bullpen, and a couple, we'll see who jumps out from kind of this new cast of characters with Snyder in the bullpen and Bolton, who we'll get to meet later on. So it's an interesting conversation with Jerry DePoto.
Seems like a great group of guys who are gelling very quickly. What are your impressions?
I think it's the most cohesive team in a clubhouse. The way they get together, the way they work, the way they spend their down hours. You know, there's a lot of them that do things together, and that's very unique. You know, and I don't know why it is that it feels different with this group. We're excited about the talent. We're equally as excited about how the guys seem to fit together, and it's not just us feeling that by looking at our team. It's the team. You know, they feel that way. The players feel that way. I know Scott and the staff believe that, And they're part of it, and that a lot of what's happening in our environment is just, it's, you know, 8 years of practice and setting up the way you want a spring training to run. There is no eyewash. The players work hard. They know when the hours start and when it ends. And I think there's a crispness to our camp that just gets a little bit more refined with each passing year, and this is the best it's been.
Who stood out to you as you watched the spring unfold?
Boy, where should I start? The easy thing, I'll start with the regulars, you know. Mitch Haniger is the best version of Mitch Haniger we've ever seen. And that's saying something. You know, he's been an all-star for us. He's, you know, one of the best outfielders in the history of our organization for the 6 years he was here. But we've never seen this version of him. You know, Oppo tanks. He's the work and the quality of the at-bat, the way he's interacted and led with his teammates has just been a treat. That's one. Mitch Garver, very similar in terms of their focus, their preparation, their personality. He has really fit in well with our group. It also helps that he hits balls off the moon. But, yes. You know, he has been a treat, and I think he is really acclimated to the notion of being a primary DH, you know. And you don't know how people are going to react to it, but he seems to have zero problem with the way you prepare, because it is a little different. Jorge Polanco, we could not have asked for an easier assimilation. You know, both what he's done on the field and what he's brought to our clubhouse. Just well-respected, quiet leadership. There's not a guy in there that doesn't, you know, just almost, I want to say, revere the way he goes about it. Cal Raleigh, just a phenomenal spring in both what he's done physically and the way he's grown, you know, emotionally as a leader in the clubhouse. He's been together from day one, and there's a focus there. JP Crawford has been his usual, you know, energetic self, and really turned into, you know, an offensive force last year, and he's carried that over to this spring after a pretty slow start. He has been awesome for the last couple of weeks. I could keep going. You know, Julio's OPS in 1400, and he's the fourth in the MVP vote, and I just brought him up. You know, he's our pitching is starting to trend. Really like some of the arms that we're seeing in the bullpen. And then if we have another podcast that we could boot up for right after this one, I could talk about the guys on the backfields right now, because that's where I've spent a good deal of my spring. This is the most talent we've ever had in our farm system, and I don't even think it's particularly close.
Really? Even when you compare it to the years where, you know, publications had the Mariners number one?
I think we're on our way back to that, you know, that perch. We have so many talented young teenagers, and you know, it's at every position on the field, and we've never had this kind of position player group, you know. We've had high impact prospects before. We've had, you know, the top five prospects in the game type guys. This group is just, they're studs. And where we are a year from now is it's going to be curious. We made a big leap a few years back. I think we went from the 15th or 16th best system to fifth. I think we'll see that leap again, you know, year over year with guys like Colt Emerson and Johnny Farmello and Laz Montes and Ty Pete and Michael Arroyo. And that's not getting to the guys that are at the upper levels, the Jonathan Class A's, Tyler Locklear, Cole Young, you know, guys who have an opportunity, Harry Ford, to play in the big leagues this year. And then the guy that I'm irrationally excited about is Logan Evans, who has truly is as stuffy as any pitcher that has come through our system. And that's saying something in recent years. 23 years old, he's got six pitches. He commands them all. He's sitting on 97, 98 with power sink. And I'm not even sure it's his best pitch. So it's amazing how far he's come year over year, and the fun that's happening on our backfields every day. It's I generally turn right instead of left when I'm leaving in the morning, because it's these guys I'll get to see for 162. The others you only see, you know, in passing. So it's fun.
The first stuffy reference of the wheelhouse this year, which is exciting. Hey, getting back to Mitch Garver, what I find really fascinating, you mentioned he'll be primary DH this year. I do find it fascinating, though, he's acting as a catcher in that he is in the meetings, all the catchers' meetings, breaking down pitching. And we've talked to him. He's really smart
really
when it comes
smart.
To pitching. Like, how valuable is, like, the production is great, but how valuable is to also have that part of Mitch Garver part of things?
You know, it's one of the things I know that Scott brought up immediately when the spring started. Like, Mitch probably isn't going to catch a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, something would have to go really wrong with our catching flow chart for him to be back there very often at all. And we talked about that when we were recruiting him. We doubled down on it when we got here. He wants to be a regular. You know, as a DH, you could envision him getting 500-plus plate appearances. And he has had his fair share of injuries during the course of his career, and it's almost always due to catching. And if we can just alleviate that concern and we get the offensive player on a regular basis, that's exciting. But you don't want to lose his mind for the game. And he has both game calling skill, the experience behind the plate with various different kinds of pitchers and different organizations. And in those meetings, he really brings something different to the dance. And I think it's great for Cal. It's been great for some of our younger catchers. It's been great for Sebi, you know, coming in, being able to see Cal and Mitch, who really excel in this area. And Sebi's gotten up to speed very quickly. And, you know, again, it's about as deep as our catching group has ever been. And if Mitch is there in mind only, and the bat goes out and does what he does as a DH, I think it's good for everybody.
Yeah. I feel the spirit of Mitch Garver as I signal the pitch com. What would Mitch Garver do right now?
That'd be awesome if it was his voice.
Yes, we can do that.
That's a great
idea. That's easy. You know, Jerry, one of the only concern point right now in camp, and came a while ago with Santos and Brash both going down, and kind of assessing them week by week and seeing what their availability will be. We know they're not going to be ready for opening day. That means there are two spots open in your bullpen. What has been your process and those that you work with in terms of how you go about deciding who that's going to be? Because there's been, like every camp, there's a number of new relievers who are vying for those positions.
Yeah, you know, I think there have been a trio of guys who've really stood out. And I hope that the opportunity isn't a lengthy one. You know, it's a Matt will throw again on Sunday off a mound, and we'll have a better read for what his timing is to return. We're hoping it's later in April. You know, Gregory's probably closer to, you know, May at this point with the setback that he had. But, you know, Gregory's injury is not as ominous long term as it sounds. You know, it's more muscly than anything structural. And, you know, to imagine a time when we have both of those guys back with, you know, Ryan Stanek and Mooney and Gabe Spire and the group that will be returning Sauce, you know, that's exciting. And that makes us a different team. But in the meantime, you know, guys like Colin Snyder, Cody Bolton, and Tyson Miller have really stood out. And they've had good springs. They each do it in a slightly different way. You know, Colin Snyder's a guy we've had our eye on for a while simply because he has real stuff that's never really equated to a lot of, you know, success. And both in run suppression and strikeout rates, he's been a little bit prone to a walk. And, you know, that's kind of where Trent and Woody thrive is finding ways to help that player get better. And if spring training is any indication, then Colin Snyder is finding his way with our group. He's been great. Cody Bolton has real weapons, you know, fastball cutter. He's got the breaking ball. He's got an excellent changeup. And he has really thrown the ball well this spring, been up into the high 90s with his fastball. And, you know, what we think is a really quickly developing cutter that's 92, 93 miles an hour to go with an out-pitch changeup that's always been a really, really good pitch. And Tyson Miller has a lot of that kind of lower slot ride type of thing that we do. And, you know, he had some traits that were very easy for our analysts and pitch strategists to identify. And, you know, he also brings some length to the table. He's stretched out. He started games, you know, at the major league level. He started a lot in the minors, you know, and he is the one that's not currently on the 40-man roster, which makes it a little bit more of an uphill climb. But all three, you know, deserve their fair share of consideration as we make those last two spots.
Ryan Stanek, obviously a big addition to your bullpen.
In a lot of ways.
Yes. No, Mariners have faced him a million times. Had you ever spoken to Ryan Stanek before he became a Seattle Mariner?
No. And I have to say, he's an easy hand.
Yes.
He really is. He's such a nice guy to spend time with. And when you see guys from afar, you can't help. You form opinions.
Yes.
He throws 100. You feel like he's snorting and grunting. Yes. And you always assume that people's personalities are like that. You know, it's going to be some, you know, Brad the Animal Leslie character. He's a great guy, and he's easy to spend time with, family guy, and, you know, young family. He seems very happy to be a Mariner, and it took him about a half a day to feel like he's been here forever. You know, he fits in with this group, and I can't tell you how many times Pete Woodworth has walked past me, grabbed an arm, patted on the back, you know, whatever it is, like, thank you for signing Ryan Stanek. Because, you know, with Mooney and Brash out, having his, not just his physical presence, but his experiences down in our pen is a really big deal. And, you know, thrilled that he was still available and thrilled that he wanted to come to Seattle.
Jer, a few moments ago, you mentioned the arm slot, and that's how something that's kind of becoming a Mariners thing. How is that happening? Are you just acquiring or developing pitchers who release from a lower slot? I can't imagine you're changing all these guys' slots, or is it a combination? Tell me, walk us through that, because it's really apparent when you study these things.
It's a combination, you know, and Tyson naturally does it. Colin Snyder naturally has, you know, a little bit of a lower slot. We're not opposed to guys who throw from a higher slot, but where we've really made our hay is with that guy who has the little bit of a lower slot. You're able to add that little extra sweep or finish to a breaking ball. And, you know, one of the things we've done well is kind of run fastballs to the top with those guys who have that the previous hand and arm position. We've had success with it. You know, that's what Paul did so well, and others who've come through our system. And, you know, I don't want to say that Tyson Miller is the next Paul Sewald, but he has a lot of the same traits, and you know, he's at that stage in his career where, you know, a little extra drop, a little extra ride, you know, an opportunity in the big leagues that's probably going to come in the bullpen and not as a starter, that's when you might see that little extra velo bump. He commands his slider very well. And, you know, he's picked up a little extra, you know, what I would call horizontal, you know, run to his slider. And that there are a lot of signs that he's doing the thing that pitchers do when they come and work with our pitching people. And, you know, credit to everybody involved. He's had a really nice spring.
That's a really interesting breakdown there from Jerry DePoto. So kind of some of the common traits there we see with so much success with guys out of the bullpen. You can catch the entire conversation. The Wheelhouse is back. The first version of 2024 is out. You can find it wherever you find your podcast. We come back. Fun conversation. Shannon Dreher sat down with Ty France. We have that coming your way on Trident Talk right after this. Yes, it is Trident Talk, brought to you by Chevy Silverado and the all-new Silverado HD. Shannon Dreher, really fun conversation with Mariners first baseman Ty France. They started the conversation with the importance of new offensive coordinator and bench coach Brant Brown to the organization.
I think part of it is game planning. He's very, you know, he has experience with the Dodgers and, you know, all the success that they've had in their history. He knows what it takes to prepare in order to be successful. And so there's been a lot of talk this camp of just knowing who you are as a hitter, what you have to do in order to be that type of hitter. And, you know, kind of running with that. I think we've had those talks in the past, just the way he's able to connect with us and kind of relay that message. I think guys are really grasping onto that.
How does he do it?
I can't give away his secrets.
Come on.
No. Can't get that from me.
Did he uncover something that you didn't know? I mean, you know who you are, but did you find out something else through that and how to access that perhaps?
I think he has a way of bringing out the best version of you as a hitter, and every guy is so different, and being able to connect with, you know, 13, 14 different guys. You know, he really takes time every single day to have an individual game plan with you and, you know, how you want to attack a pitcher or approach a pitcher. And, you know, he's been very good at just communicating and helping us work through that even in game. So
it just helps probably having that conversation when you say it out loud or hear it rather than look at something.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like so much of our game has turned to, you know, electronics and iPads and, you know, just that type of game planning. So being able to see it on a piece of paper and him explain it, it's, you know, at least speaking personally, it's helped me.
That's you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are 12 yeah. others. That's fantastic. You personally, where are you? I know that when JP went to drive line, when he came to spring training, there were adjustments still made. You don't know until you get out. Where are you in that process?
I'm feeling a lot better. Starting to get more comfortable. It's definitely a big adjustment. You can, you know, practice all you want in the cage mm-hmm. off the machine, and it's a controlled environment. But once you get out on the field, you know, it's a whole different beast. So, I'm definitely getting more comfortable. The changes that I made were, you know, we made some significant changes. So, I came in kind of open-minded, you know, understanding that it wasn't going to be, you know, a day one thing. And there's still times where, you know, I'll swing and revert back to my old swing just because that's what I've done for so long. So yeah. We're still fighting through that. But, you know, for the most part, I feel like I'm in a really good spot right now.
What intrigued you about the process the most? I mean, I know you're a hitter, so I figured when you had all of that and saw all of mm-hmm. that, what kind of went through your mind about?
It was just kind of crazy to see, you know, how, I guess scientific could be the right word, how much goes into a swing. And, you know, everybody's swing and body is different, works differently. But just to see how mechanically inefficient my swing was and yet how successful I've been to this point, it only really made sense to clean it up and try and make me that much better.
Is that automatic now? Or is that something you're still fighting a little bit?
There definitely... In the cage, in the controllable environments, it's definitely easier to sync up correctly, put the correct mechanically swing on the ball. In the game, with the intensity ramped up a little bit, you know, there's still times where I want to revert back to my old swing just because that's what was comfortable for so long. So, you know, trying to fight that while still, you know, going out and competing. I've noticed it from time to time, but for the most part, it's getting pretty comfortable.
What do they tell you? I mean, did they tell you just, hey, hang in there, fight through it, don't, you know, give yourself time, or do you feel a pressure to come out and be right on at the start?
Not necessarily pressure, no. It's more of like a standard that I hold myself to, being that I put in so much work this off season that I want nothing more than to be successful because of how hard I worked this off season. But at the same time, you know, when I step out there, I just have to go out and compete. I can't really worry about, you know, am I loading right? Are my hands in the right spot? I just got to go out and, you know, play the game. So I think, you know, all the repetition this off season and, you know, trying to get my body in the right spot, so far this spring has paid off.
How did you and JP become such friends?
Me and him go way back. We grew up playing against each other. And then when I was traded over here, I think we played against each other a little bit in the minor leagues, in AAA. And then when I was traded over here, he was kind of one of the first that kind of grabbed me under his wing. And, you know, he, at the time he was a younger guy as well. And, just kind of showed me, hey, this is how we do things over here. And, we just kind of bonded over that and, been the best of buds since.
What have you seen in that growth and that coming out even in that time?
Just the maturity level. You know, he has such a, I don't know if aura is the right word, but guys gravitate towards him. And it's just so easy to just watch the way he works and how much work he puts in. And he's not necessarily a guy who's going to come in here and scream his head off and yell at you and try and put you in your place that way. He leads by example and he does things the right way. But he's also, throughout the years, has grown to where when he talks, guys listen. It doesn't matter if you're a 10-year guy or, you know, a rookie. When he stands up in a meeting, you know, guys, they pay attention. And I think that's one of the biggest things I've noticed throughout his time here is the comfort level of being able to stand up in those meetings and kind of understand that guys lean on him, guys pay attention to him, guys listen when he talks. And so when he does talk, you know, he means what he says.
I see him as a guy with a heartbeat like this during a game. What does that, A, is that correct? And what does that do for you guys?
So I would say it's here, and then there's never really like a down. Like he stays here, he shows his excitement, but then he gets back to level. And he plays with a lot of passion, a lot of fire. And, you know, he's not the kind of guy who, he doesn't come in and break bats and get upset that way. He does hold himself to a very high standard, but he kind of, like I mentioned, he understands guys, these younger guys are watching him and he has to lead by example. So he's not going to, you know, come in, break a helmet, do all that stuff. So, and that's another thing, you know, talking about his maturity, how far he's come. He's learned that, you know, guys pay attention when he does things. So, he's definitely earned the right and role that he's in. And, you know, hopefully he's here for a very long time.
That's some great stuff right there. That's Ty France talking about J.P. Crawford with Shannon Dreher. We have more Trident Talk coming your way after this. We're going to get to know new Mariners reliever Cody Bolton. We'll do that, and we return right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to Trident Talk on the Seattle Mariners Radio Network.
It is Trident Talk, brought to you by Chevy Silverado and the all-new Silverado HD. We had a chance to catch up with one of the newest Mariners, Mariner reliever Cody Bolton.
You've been in the Pittsburgh organization this whole time. How big of an adjustment has this spring been for you, being with a new organization?
It's definitely been different. I'm really liking the coaching staff over here. Really awesome, fun team to be around. A lot of the guys get along really well. And I think chemistry is like a really big thing in baseball. I mean, it's a lot of fun.
We talk about it. The Mariners, there's been pitchers and relievers specifically that have come over here the last few years and have had a lot of success. And it's been fun having the conversations about kind of what has led to that success. And sometimes it's big adjustments and sometimes it's not so big adjustments. What have those conversations been like with the Mariners kind of in your early stages here about how you go about things?
I think the biggest thing is just trusting your stuff. I mean, all my pitches move a lot. So if I throw them over the middle of the plate, they're not going to end up over the middle of the plate, but they're going to move. And so I think just trying to dominate the zone is playing a big part in what I'm doing right now.
So stuff-wise, like you're throwing the same things that you threw before, it's just kind of how you're attacking? Is that essentially the difference between now and last year, for example?
Yeah, I've actually I brought back my sinker and my cutter, and those are two of really good pitches that I've thrown for a while. Last year I was just four-seam slider and changeup, but so far the sinker and the cutter are working really well for me.
So are you throwing all five now?
All five, yeah.
Wow, okay. Yep. Okay, let's talk Arsenal. This is fun because we've seen the heater. That's seen you touch 97, and I know like last year was your first full season as a reliever. You've been a starter essentially your whole life, right?
Yep.
So let's talk about that adjustment first, I guess. Like how big of an adjustment was that for you going full-time reliever?
It was a pretty big adjustment. The 2022 season, I kind of did both. Mm-hmm. I had started 15 games and came out of the bullpen for 15 games. And going full pen kind of, I mean, it was a big adjustment because I was used to a schedule. Knew when I was going to pitch, how many innings I would go or whatever, what my pitch count was, and coming out of the bullpen kind of took all that away, and you got to be ready at any moment. And going from warming up in the bullpen, it was like a 25-30 pitch warm up for me to get everything right. And then I think last year I got it down to like 10 pitches and I was ready to go. But now having 5 pitches in my arsenal, kind of got to throw a little bit more just so that way I can throw all of them. But right now, I mean, warming up is pretty easy. But yeah, I mean, I think the schedule thing was the hardest part of transitioning over to a reliever.
And with the full year, do you feel like you have it down, kind of how you go about getting ready day in, day out, how you get ready in a game? Do you feel like going through the course of the year, like that's second nature at this point?
Definitely. I kind of just go about every day the same, because during season you never know what day you're going to pitch. So if you go into each day thinking you're going to pitch, then it makes things a lot more easier. Just always being on your toes and always be ready.
I'm fascinated by a 5-pitch arsenal for a reliever. So do you break it down kind of lefty-righty and how you will unleash what you're throwing? Are there pitches you use for both? Are there some you just use for one side? Like, how do you think about how you'll go about attacking with 5 pitches?
Yeah, there's certain pitches that I'll throw to lefties and certain pitches I throw to righties. But, I mean, they pretty much all work pretty well. I'm big on movement. I'm a big movement guy. I don't know how I make the ball move. I'm kind of a guy that just for instance my slider. I've thrown the same slider since Little League, since I was 10 years old. And some of the pitching staff here were asking me how I grip it, and I showed them. They're like, "We've never seen that before," but it works, and it moves a lot. But yeah, I mean,
I mean, your slider's your pitch, right?
So
how did you learn the grip? 10 years old, how did you pick that up?
My dad, he didn't want me throwing a curveball. He was big on thinking that curveballs would cause Tommy John or that snapping motion. So he showed me a grip, and I would just throw it like a fastball and finish as a slider. And it's always moved. I used to throw it mid to upper 80s, and then the past couple of years it's kind of dropped down to upper 70s, low 80s. but now it's kind of in that middle range, 80 to, I think, 84 or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I just stuck with it, and it's developed into a pretty good pitch.
And you use the same grip that your dad showed you. To this day, you use the same?
Yep.
That's awesome.
Grip. Yep.
That's amazing. Are you a big data guy when you look at, because it sounds like you kind of naturally are able to spin the ball. Do you lean on the data too, just to kind of see what things are looking like?
No. Like I said before, like I make the ball move. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I do it, but that can be a good thing, because then if you're trying to figure out how you're making a move, then you might try and overdo it, mm-hmm. and then it turns into something completely different. So I kind of just like to simplify things and throw the ball.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Your fastball, how much life do you see in just one inning, as opposed to, you know, when you're starting, you're planning on going 5, 6, 7, whatever. What is the difference you see in your fastball between out of the bullpen and as a starter?
Definitely velocity doesn't drop. I kind of notice that my velo stays up. And even like if I go deep into an inning or something, I can even jump it up a little bit.
Okay.
But yeah.
So last year you debuted with the Pirates. I started to count the number of times you were called up by Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. I was starting to run out of fingers. What, you were 7 call-ups during the course of the season? Did I have that right?
Yep, 7.
So Indianapolis, I guess it wasn't too far of a trip every time, but that's, I guess it's a call you always want, right? But that's a, like, how difficult was that, just the constant shuttle during the course of the season?
Yeah, it was really difficult. I think the only time that I flew was for my debut. All the other times I drove to Pittsburgh, and I think I did the math, and I want to say I drove about 70 hours last year.
70 hours. Well, I guess driving to Pittsburgh is probably better than driving to Indianapolis, right?
Yeah.
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 What do you remember about your debut?
I remember, so I was supposed to debut in Pittsburgh. I got called up when the team was in Pittsburgh, and my flight got delayed. And that's kind of why I started driving after that, because yeah. I was worried every time my flight would get delayed. So my whole family drove up to Pittsburgh from Virginia, and then I didn't end up pitching, and then we hopped on the plane right after that game. My family drove right to Washington, D.C. Mm. We landed. That next day, we had a rain out, so then that game got moved to the next day, so we had a doubleheader. Didn't pitch in the first game. Pitched in the second game. It was late. I think it was pretty late at night. The first game kind of got pushed back a little bit. Uh-huh. It was a rain. So I was sitting in the bullpen like all day, just waiting to go in. And then I think we were up like 12 runs or something. And then I went in and threw really well. First pitch, pop out. I was like, okay, I can do this. And then kind of settled in and went from there.
That's a long time to wait for your debut.
It was really long.
I mean, did it play with your mind? I mean, what else could you be thinking about other than I'm eventually going to pitch for the first time in the majors at some point today?
Yeah, it was a little stressful. But sitting out in the bullpen, talking with David Bednar, and a couple other guys that were up there, they kind of relaxed me a little bit and helped me out, showed me the ropes. And
did you keep anything from your debut?
I got the scorecard.
Oh, nice.
I got my first pitch and then my first strikeout.
Nice.
Yep.
That's great. Where do you have them?
My dad has them in his office. Yep.
Very cool. Yep. Washington, D.C., too, that's pretty close to home.
I know
you spent a lot of time in California, youth, but you're born in Virginia, spent mm-hmm. part of your life in Virginia. That'd be pretty great being that close to home.
Yeah, it was awesome. The week before, my parents actually moved up to Northern Virginia, so they were only an hour from D.C.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then, I mean, my whole family was able to go, which was awesome. My oldest sister was due that week to have her first kid. And then so she was there at the game, and then
wow,
I think like two or three days later, she ended up having the baby, and yeah,
that's a big week for the Bolton family.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
that's phenomenal. You went through so much in your first season with Pittsburgh. What did you learn about yourself going through that year?
When times get tough, just keep pushing. Like I had one really tough outing in San Francisco, but after that, I just kept fighting, kept trying to prove myself. And after that outing, I ended up doing really well, even with all the ups and downs and all the travel. Just keep pushing and keep grinding through it, and you'll have success.
What excites you about this opportunity with the Mariners?
The pitching. They're known for pitching. They're known for turning guys' careers around. And, I mean, that's just really exciting. They know what they're doing here, and it's just a great opportunity.
Was it always a pitcher for you growing up? Did you play anything else?
I started out as a shortstop.
Okay.
And then kind of I threw too hard. And then so I went to, I think it was my sophomore year in high school when I really started pitching. I didn't start playing travel ball till sophomore year of high school. But yeah, I mean, shortstop was fun. I loved to hit. My first game that I got called up to Double A, struck out my first at bat against Richmond.
Oh, really?
The Flying Squirrels.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Struck out my first at bat, and then next at bat, I got a knock up the middle. My family was going crazy for that. But yeah, I miss hitting. Hitting was a lot of fun. And yeah, but shortstop, started out shortstop. Tried a little bit of outfield, wasn't very good, and then just moved strictly pitcher only.
Do you ever sneak into the cages here just for the fun of it?
No, not here. When I played Double A in 2019, I was starting, and so days that I wasn't pitching, I would go in the cages and just hit off a tee.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, you had a couple, the COVID year obviously knocked you out, and then knee surgery the year after that. So that was two full years gone. What was it like coming back from that, just being 2 years away and getting back on the mound?
I was hungry. I just couldn't wait to get back on the mound. I don't even know like words to describe getting back out there. But I was pretty close with the manager that year. And after my first outing, he came out to the mound to take me out of the game, and just big smile on his face. And I think he told me, welcome back. And that was it. And then I knew I was back.
That's a long time in between professional games, right?
I mean,
essentially two full years.
Yep.
You had to be a pretty great feeling.
Yeah, it was. Yep.
Do you still think about that now? Just the appreciation of, hey, you're healthy. Do you think about that?
Yeah. I mean, I took that year that I had surgery and kind of just looked at it as an opportunity to get my body right. Because when I first had the surgery, they told me that I had a chance to throw in some games towards the end of the season, and then that didn't happen. But I just treated that off season as a normal off season, and I was ready to go that next season, that next spring. And just having the opportunity to get my body right, because I think that year I came in like 20 pounds heavier.
Okay.
So I lost weight during that. I think I dropped down to like 210, and it definitely helped.
Yeah. Who would you say are your biggest influences? Like, who are the people that help you get to this stage?
Definitely my parents. They helped me. I mean, just the amount of baseball games that I would go to.
Oh, yeah.
In high school, tournaments, all the tournaments, all the travel, all the time that they put in just to allow me to play a game. Yeah, they helped out a lot.
Does anyone call you Carl?
My oldest sister is the only one that calls me Carl when she's mad at me.
When she's mad at you?
Yeah.
The parents never went Carl, though, when you were in trouble?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, where did Cody come from then?
So Carl came from my great-grandfather on my dad's side. And then Cody, and my middle name's Donovan, okay, which was my dad's best friend's name. So they took the C from Carl and the D from Donovan and came up with Cody.
Ah.
Yeah.
Pieced it together.
Yep.
That's phenomenal. I know you were coast to coast. Did you have any like team allegiances growing up or players that you enjoyed watching growing up?
My sisters were Giants fans.
Okay.
I'd like to say they were bandwagoners when they were.
Oh, that's when they were. Yep. Yeah, World Series. Yeah, yep. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah, my dad was a huge Cardinals fan.
Okay.
So I liked watching Adam Wainwright. And my first big league win was against the Cardinals. So I was.
Well, your dad was awesome. Cheering against the Cardinals that day.
Yeah, so. Yeah, he was. Yep. Yep.
That's amazing. Well, Cody, this was great. Thank you so much for the time. It's great to get to know you a little bit.
Awesome. I appreciate it.
That was Cody Bolton, Mariners' newest reliever. That was a really fun conversation to get to know him a little bit. And he's certainly excited to be part of the Mariners. And those pretty great comments talking about what it means to be part of the Mariners. And there's certainly recognition, especially for relievers around baseball, about what the Mariners can do to help your career, certainly. We come back. We got a really great segment. Tell Me a Story is back. This is going to be a good one. We'll do that right after this.
You're listening to Trident Talk on the Seattle Mariners Radio Network.
Yes, it is Trident Talk, Gary Hill. Aaron Goldsmith here. Aaron, I thought of you with this Tell Me a Story. I have not told you what this story is going to be yet.
But well, tell me a story, Gary.
I'm not telling a story. Joe Castiglione's going to tell us a story. Great Boston Red Sox play-by-play announcer who's actually not here on this trip. But
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer, absolutely. And one of my all-time favorite moments on the air, here's Joe telling us a great story.
You know, Joe, people can listen to you all across the world whenever they want online with the At-Bat app. And years before the At-Bat app was even a thing, I first heard you on the actual radio in New England when I was a broadcast intern for the Bourne Braves in the Cape Cod Baseball League, Joe. And ever since I first heard you, along with liking your call so much, there's one thing that always stands out to me when I think about Joe Castiglione. And that is Shaw's.
You sound like Aaron Boone. He mimics me.
Now, Joe.
He's not the only one.
He goes, Joe Castiglione for Shaw's in Star Market. I say, Aaron, the strawberries are 99 cents a pint this week.
Now, Joe, I'm ambushing you here, okay? Our good friend, and yours as well, a great friend, actually, Kevin Kremen, is engineering for you now.
We're very fortunate to have Kevin.
Now, Kevin came in here to use our printer to print some promos for you, and he knows how much I love Joe Castiglione for Shaw's. So he dropped off for us a couple of reads,
okay,
Joe. And if you would you be so kind? Here's the first one for you. We'd like to hear.
Now through Thursday, April 4th, find a home run of a deal with select varieties of signature select pizza, pepperoni, five cheese, spicy Italian sausage, and more for only $3.99 each, only at Shaw's. The official supermarket of the Boston Red Sox Radio Network.
He just made his day.
I got, because one's not enough. Second read on this one is short and sweet, but right to the point.
Shaz is going to love this one. Now through Thursday, April 4th, value packs of 80% lean ground beef on sale for only $2.49 a pound, only at Shaw's, the official supermarket of the Boston Red Sox Radio Network. If you hit Aaron Boone with that, he will tell you all about the price of the strawberries.
How long have you been doing Shaw's for?
I think they've been our prime sponsor. They sponsor the whole network. It's about 15 years.
Now, have you ever paid for anything at Shaw's?
The only perk I get is when I go into my local Shaw's, which is about a mile from my house, the manager sees me and opens up a cashier lane, so I don't have to wait in line.
I love that. I love everything about that.
I have so many things to react to. First of all, these pepperoni pizzas were clearly priced pre-inflation. $3.99 for a pizza?
Shots.
And also, 80% is not lean ground beef. Okay, that's the good stuff. All right, that's the fatty stuff. I mean, I don't know who's writing the copy here for Shaw's. My wonderful wife, Heather, is from a Boston suburb. Mm-hmm. And we are the youngest couple in the history of America to honeymoon in Vermont. And so
We were on our honeymoon in Vermont many, many years ago. And, you know, we're driving past the Shaws like every mile. And every mile I go, Shaws. And I almost ruined our honeymoon. Heather one time just snapped at me. You have to stop saying that. Because I have heard Joe Castiglione for Shaws what feels like my entire life. In reality, it's been a little over a decade. But what a sweetheart of a man.
And he's the greatest.
Joe Castiglione for Shaws. There's Petey.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that so much.
We miss him here. We'll see him when we go to Boston. Yeah. He's cut his schedule back this year, and rightfully so. But what a just a gem of a man. We love Castig. Thank you for playing that, Gary.
It's so funny. The fact that we had him do
it. The fact that a Hall of Famer read a promo for ground beef is the best thing we'll hear all day.
Where Shaws don't exist.
Yes, exactly. People are listening like, oh, what is this Shaws you're talking about? Shaws? Joe Castiglione for Shaws.
So my piece of advice for anyone that just sees Aaron on the street or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Shaws.
You can't go wrong. Love that guy. He's had a wonderful career.
And he's had a great career.
He's been with the Red Sox seemingly forever and has been on the call for all their great moments in recent memory. And they certainly have had a lot. We miss seeing him here, but, man, it is strange. I'll be honest. Like, a Red Sox game without Joe Castiglione is in the press box feels a little bit different.
It does.
But I'm glad he's taking some time. He's a grandfather.
He deserves it.
Yeah, he does. He got a place in Florida. Live it up, Joe.
I also miss when he's not here. He is always like, on Lake Union,
he's
biking,
man,
around UW, or he's really living it up.
Every
whenever
time
he's here.
He comes, genuinely, broadcasters love coming to Seattle.
Yes.
Visiting media love coming to Seattle. And there are few that I can think of that take advantage of our surroundings more than Joe Castiglione. We crave hearing what it is he did this time.
Especially if he gets an off day here.
He has a great story of he and Don Orsillo, who was a longtime TV voice for the Red Sox, now with the Padres, of course, how Don capsized the kayak in Lake Union.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah. I mean, the seaplanes are scary when they're coming in. They make you do some strange things. But thank you for playing that. I'm glad we did. We can thank Kevin Kremen if he didn't give us the promos.
Oh, it all came together, didn't it? One more Shaws on the way out.
Really?
No. Give me one.
Joe Castiglione for Sean.
One more Petey, too, while we're going.
Yeah. Here's Petey.
There it is. I love it so much.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits. Make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.